to the Batmobile. Let's go.
Come on, Bob, for old time's sake, huh?
Harley Quinn, nice to meet ya.
Pardon my French. Fuck those fuckers.
Marvel character ever, but you should never meet your heroes because honestly, he's a bit of a dick.
Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Cap.
I am inevitable.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Comics in Motion podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Comics in Motion TV and movie reviews for shows that are based on comic books. Myself, I'll be reviewing from the perspective of a long-time comic book reader.
And I'll be reviewing from the TV and movie perspective.
And what we also like to do here is we also like to spoil the hell out of everything we review. So if you haven't watched our Choice of the Week, then we'd advise you to proceed with caution. And remember, with an average podcast comes no responsibility. Now, Chris, how many takes has it taken us to get here? We'll probably cut out some of them. But by God, it's been a while, hasn't it? So how are you, sir?
I'm very well. The fact that you said our pick of the week, I mean, what week, Dave, from 2022? Yeah, or 20...
our pick of the quarter. You know, we are almost... No, you know what, Chris, right? So we did our 1,000th episode, didn't we, with Tony, Max, and Mike, and we had a great time. You know, we spoke about it off podcast. I said, yes, we are going to do once a month, and then we just haven't managed to get our calendars to align. And then, you know, we're recording now on the very last day, the morning of the last day, because, you know, it is Easter Sunday, Chris, and it's not only us, our podcast here, that's been resurrected. Apparently there's something else going on as well, but yeah, we finally did it, so we can claim we've got out one per quarter this year. So there you go.
Yeah, well, Dave, it has been 6 years since we started Comics in Motion, the first podcast in our little network that we've got, so it seems quite appropriate. You're right, Dave, and what better way to review a movie on Easter Sunday? And as a Catholic, Dave, I totally get it. But more importantly, forget all the religious shit. You just get to eat chocolate all day. And for me, that is fucking perfect. Forget the religion bollocks. I've been there, got the t-shirt, fucking been the altar boy. Let's not fucking talk about what happened there, Dave. But anyway, what are we going to be reviewing, David? Because obviously, it's been that long. I don't think we're going to spoil anything because we haven't reviewed anything. But we are like sort of leading into something here, aren't we, with the review? Because this is one we should have reviewed. I don't know fucking how long ago, but here you go.
Yeah. So, Chris, we're going to go back to 2021 in a post-Avengers Endgame world, and we are going to review Marvel Studios Eternals. Now, we've been threatening this for a while, as well as finishing off Hitmonkey and all sorts of things. We say, oh, yeah, we'll totally do that. But we thought, you know what, we're going to have to go back. Because before we get into the movie, Chris, let's talk a little bit about just where the MCU is at the moment. Because we're now at the point where we're 5 years past Avengers Endgame. And I'm sure we've discussed it before, that I still think that was the most ambitious project that there's ever been in film. There's never been a catalogue of movies leading up to a crescendo like that before. And I'm not sure we'll see it again. We're doing Fast and Furious with Jack on Back to the Filmography, aren't we? So, you know, that's about the only thing you could say that comes close. But, I mean, there's... Those films are ridiculous, but entertaining as well, I admit. But, you know, not where you've got these very different, diverse film sets and it all comes together. But I feel like even 5 years later now, we are still in that hangover point. And I feel like this movie is kind of, you know, it's just one of those things that makes you feel like you're coming out the other end of the... It's going to sound wrong, but the bell curve, you know, you're on the way down, aren't you?
Yeah, and we've talked about that, and you've called me out when we have done the comics podcasts and that laughing is like the stuff that I've enjoyed when we've talked about it. So I enjoyed She-Hulk. I thought that was really good. You know, I think there's a Spider-Man enjoyed as well. The Spider-Man, you know, Tom Holland, they're supposed to be filming Spider-Man 4, starting production of it later on this year. There's a couple of things that I have genuinely enjoyed. I like the Black Widow as well. I thought that was a good movie. And there's a few here and there, but
Doctor Strange 2.
Doctor Strange 2 was good. It was like a horror movie, wasn't it? That was good. And, what was the one with Scarlet Witch?
Doctor Strange 2.
No, not Scarlet.
WandaVision.
Excuse me, WandaVision. Yeah, I enjoyed that as well. So, but I think what I'm struggling with 5 years later, there's nobody who are vouched for. There's nobody who I really care for. And I don't actually know because of... And you know, I actually enjoyed them as well. I actually enjoyed the Last Ant-Man movie. I watched that on the plane last September coming home from Tenerife. And I actually watched it for, it's going to be shit. And I didn't mind it, to be fair, despite the low reviews. But then obviously as well, you've got the Jonathan Majors situation, aren't you? With Kang, because obviously they're going to recast him or just get rid of him completely. So that has put a big spanner, and you know, quite right after what's come out. But that their trust in that character, and this is all blown up, and they didn't know what was going on, but that's what's happened. And I just don't think there's anything going on. It feels like Marvel is doing a bit of a DC, where there's a few good movies, and my God, is fucking Aquaman 2 fucking bad, by the way. Fuck a doodle do, Dave. That is a terrible movie. Fucking hell. Really? I can't wait to fucking, if we do review that piece of fucking trash.
Oh, I think we've got our next quarter's pick.
Well, yeah. You're probably making a third one by the time we get down to reviewing it. But I just feel that there's nobody, other than Spider-Man, there is nobody really in this next phase of the MCU that I really care for. And also, they've not been good films. Four was fucking bobbins. Fucking rubbish, Natalie Portman. Oh, it's garbage. Anyway, I'm ruining all the reviews, Dave, if we do get around to doing these. But I just feel at the moment, it's a rudderless ship, and we don't know where we're going. And there's going to be a conclusion, but none of the characters they've brought in since we've got rid of the main MCU ones from the, you know, Endgame and that whole phase. I just don't feel that they've done anything anywhere near as good as what it was before. And I don't think the storytelling's been there. I think they've diluted it too much of all these like fucking 6-part TV shows and stuff. Even though some of them have been good, they don't further the story really.
Yeah, I think it's just taking that level of ambition. So to bring all of these movies together, it's taken that, and you're trying to include the TV shows and also build upon the history, you know, that you've created in this cinematic universe, and it's not compelling. You're literally down to the diehards now. I feel, you know, I think it has to come to an end in some way. You know, if you think about it, you know, first Iron Man came out 2008. So again, we're a good few years after that now. And it's like, well, in normal circumstances, you'd expect a reboot. You know, how many reboots has Spider-Man had? You know, how many reboots has Batman had? And I'm not saying that's necessarily better, but I think with the MCU, you know, it does have to come to an end at some point. They're losing, you know, that core audience, and like the people who, you know, did have a passing interest, I just think are not interested now. And it's intimidating, isn't it? It's like, oh, I've got to watch all these movies and I've got to watch all these TV shows as well, you know, it's too much for people.
Yeah, and I also think that the pandemic has been an absolute killer for cinema. You know, like there was nothing better. You know, I had the Odeon Limitless Pass. Me and Sam were there all the time watching movies. A lot of it was to do with this podcast, Comics in Motion, was like, well, because everything was coming out, I was like, well, why don't we just spend 18 quid a month? We're going anyway. If we go more than twice a month, it's already paid for itself, you know, because it's so expensive. And that's what we did. And we went, like, every Sunday we were watching films. But, like, Sam got to the point where she's like, I fucking hate coming. Because we were just picking all sorts of movies, nothing to do with superhero movies, just any sort of movie. But then it was overkill completely because the cinema was just like, you were going, I loved it. I love watching Endgame in the cinema. It was fucking amazing. You know, holding back the tears at the end there, pretending that I wasn't fucking welling up and everything. And like that. Sam and Jordan looking is like, and then even the last Spider-Man, you know, the Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield bit. And I'm fucking there like, yes. And there was one other person in the whole fucking cinema. And that was obviously post pandemic, got it. And I'm like, and Sam and John just looking, going, yeah, great. Yeah, don't know what's going on. So I think that's the problem. The cinema is on its fucking knees and people are just watching stuff at home more, aren't they? They're waiting for it to come on. Fucking Disney are taking the piss anyway. Now you've got adverts like Primark, you've got adverts when you're paying for this premium stuff. I've got rid of Disney Plus because it's fucking gone up again, and all my family are fuming about that. My family are fuming. It's quite funny, Dave, because my mother-in-law, who I actually love, my mother-in-law's great, but she's coming around for dinner today, Dave, because I'm going to be picking her up later. But she rang me and Sam and went, she's sat there going on with herself. And she's only like early 70s. It's not like she's bloody, you know, 90. She's going, oh, it's great this year. I've not got Netflix anymore. He's got rid of bloody Disney, blah, blah, blah. And I haven't even got Prime. And then Sam went, Mum, you do know you're slagging Chris off because you have our login for all these shows. We've just got rid of it. We've just got rid of, other than Prime, we've got rid of Netflix. We've got rid of Disney. She's like, right. I wonder why it wasn't thinking. I was going to ask Chris to come and log it in, and we told her we were getting rid of it because of the price of everything, you know, going up. But yeah, she was on one, Dave, and then my fucking sister's gutted when she moved flats and they brought in that sharing home thing. She messaged me going, can't get Netflix on. I went, well, you have to fucking pay for it then, aren't you? Because you can't share home things, aren't you? Then they had my brother. One of my brothers, because obviously there's loads of us in, I've got three brothers and five sisters. One of my brothers, he was good. He gave me his YouTube premium and we did a swap and he went, can I use your Disney Plus? And I'll give him a YouTube premium so you don't have adverts. And I went, yeah. And I got so, I love YouTube premium because that's all I watch is YouTube all the time. Is I pay for it myself now. Can you get the music with it? Sam and Jordan get advert free. So I said to my brother, I just took it off and didn't tell him. And he rang me going, oh, why have you took it off? I want Disney. And I went, no, I said, you keep using my Disney. I appreciate the saving I've had it. And then he was like, well, my father-in-law likes Disney. Is there any chance you can set him up on your Disney? So it's fucking muggings here. My brother was actually, he was giving me something back. But towards the end, everyone's just taking from me. And fucking, and then I think my sister's father-in-law a couple of years ago, he had my Prime. I set him up on a Fire Stick because he didn't have a clue. He's like 70-odd. Set him up on it and said, right, these are the channels, blah, blah, blah. And then I get a bill for like £9 for that Kirby Enthusiasm. And I'm like, I'm not even watching this shit, £1.30 an episode. Oh, yeah, he's charging my fucking card. Yeah, charging me card, Dave. I rang him up and went, hey, Robert, you all right? He went, yeah, yeah. He goes, you watching Kirby Enthusiasm? He went, oh, I love it. I'm having such a good time. He went, well, can you start watching it? Why? I went, because you're fucking charging me £1.30 every time you watch the episode. Oh, we're on series one. I went, yeah, and there's about 10 series. I went, so let's just stop that right now.
Jesus Christ.
So I had to go round and take my fucking card off and put like the two form factor thing on, Dave. So anyway, I've gone right off on a tangent, but basically, Muggins here pays for everything. So if you want a subscription login, just come and see me. But I do think it's saturated. It's oversaturation.
That's sort of the problem, though, isn't it? You sort of, you're having a bit of a rant about it, but you're giving it out to everyone.
Yes, my own fault. I can't blame anybody. You want to log into Disney? No problem. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so... Yes, it's my fault, dickhead. It is my fault.
It is a problem, though, isn't it? I feel like, you know, because everyone looked at the Netflix model and then they're like, oh, you can make so much fucking money with this now. You know, everyone wanted a piece of it, didn't they? Disney, Warner Brothers, you know, you've got Hulu as well. You've got all these different ventures and it just dilutes it. Apple have got their own now and it's like, fucking hell, if you did want to watch absolutely everything, like you'd be spending so much on subscriptions every bloody month. But I definitely think the Disney Plus thing has hurt this whole kind of franchise because it's moved their focus away from, you know, just creating great movies to, you know, well, they want to get subscribers. You know, I don't think Disney Plus is, I can't remember now. I don't know if it's actually making them any money at the minute. But I do think that will continue to go up. But I think for me, I prefer the kind of Netflix stuff. If I'm going to pay for something, I prefer to have like quite a bit of variety. We were chomping at the bit, weren't we? Before Disney Plus came out, we were like, oh, it's so going to be all over that. But the thing I'm enjoying most, to be honest, is X-Men 97. you know, the kind of remake, but the continuation from the X-Men animated series. So, yeah, it's an interesting time. But anyway, Chris, getting back to Eternals. So, I'd say, I watched all of the MCU movies because, they've got issues, but I'll still be there at the cinema. Deadpool 3 coming out later this year, I have to say, will absolutely be all over it.
We will be reviewing that, 100%.
Yeah. Don't be careful.
No, I'll be there day one. Right, I'll be there in the cinema, 100%. I'm back at the cinema for that. I love Deadpool. I'm with Hugh Jackman back. I am there.
Yeah, but coming into this one, I was slightly cautious. I know of the Eternals. It's not something that I don't particularly like the characters or anything. It's, you know, it came out of the old Jack Kirby stuff, and then Neil Gaiman picked it up years later. But it kind of had the feel to me of Guardians of the Galaxy. That, you know, it's this kind of little niche side comic book that, you know, isn't really part of the main line, and it's like, okay, you know, but coming into this one, I'm like, okay, what are they going to do after Endgame? And also, I don't really care about these characters, how they're going to introduce them all. And but then I'm thinking, well, they did it for Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'll set my expectations on neutral. You know, I'm not going in Guardians, right? I was going in thinking it was going to be not great, ended up loving it. And this one, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm on the fence. So I'll say no more about, you know, where it goes after that. But that's where I was when I was going into it. I mean, how about yourself, Chris?
Yeah, I didn't have a fucking clue, Dave. Didn't have a clue. I did go into it thinking maybe these are new heroes that were going to be, you know, they'll take the fight to the next version of, you know, whoever Thanos is, you know, the big bad sort of thing. But I didn't have a clue about it. I remember asking you about it, and you were like, you had a understanding of them, and like, you, like as you just said, and where the origins were and that, and giving me a bit of a history lesson on what they were. But I didn't think there was a lot of fanfare for this when it was coming out or what was going on. Obviously, Jon Snow, Kit Harington's in it, you know, off the back of that Richard Madden, who I'd watched in that Bodyguard thing, which was really good on the BBC. So, you know, a couple of great actors and actresses, obviously Angelina Jolie's in it. I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what was going on.
It's a great cast, to be fair.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, honestly. So I sort of went into it thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. Saw the trailers, wasn't necessarily blown away, but then thinking the trailers never do them justice anyway. If they're hiding a lot, and this is the next phase. Honestly, I was when it came round to it, I was like, I'm really excited. And then I did the old classic thing of reading the reviews, and then I was like, I'll wait for this to come on stream. So I think that's why it took us so long. We probably should have reviewed this, and it's probably more my fault than you, because I know you went to cinema. But yeah, I just didn't know what to expect. I didn't know. I thought it was a perfect ending in Endgame, you know, other than the Hulk getting absolutely dicked, which just still pisses me off, as you can tell. But other than that, I was like, yeah, let's go again. What have you got for us now? It's going to be even bigger, better, badder, you know, baddies, adversaries, everything. But that's where I was. I was sort of intrigued with it, Dave. I was charmed, Dave. And you know, we did the hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing it myself right now. So great stuff. Anyway, so Chris, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
Five years ago, Thanos erased half of the population of the universe. But the people of this planet brought everyone back with a snap of a finger. The sudden return of the population provided the necessary energy for the emergence to begin.
How long do we have?
7 days. We're Eternals. We came here 7,000 years ago to protect humans from the Deviants.
Why didn't you guys help fight Thanos? Or any war, or all the other terrible things throughout history?
We were instructed not to interfere in any human conflicts unless Deviants are involved.
By who? We need to find the others.
I haven't seen some of them for centuries.
Hi.
Hello.
If this is what the end of the world looks like, at least we have front row seats.
You know what's never saved the planet? Your sarcasm.
We have loved these people since the day we arrived. When you love something, you protect it.
You can't protect. Any of them.
I bet you've built the perfect safe house.
Well, what's this even made of? Vibranium?
In 5000 BC, 10 superpowered beings known as the Eternals are sent to Earth by Arishem, a celestial, on the starship Domo. They are charged with exterminating invasive entities known as the Deviants. Park jokes till later. The last Deviant is killed in 1521 when the group's opinions differ over their continued relationship with humankind. Over the next 500 years, they mostly live apart, waiting for Arishem's orders. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
This movie is fucking shit, Dave. It's absolutely shit. I'm going straight in on this. It is fucking garbage. And the main thing I've got a massive problem with, and we've spoke about this, you know, on this podcast, and we've definitely spoke about it off the podcast. There is no fucking way that they would sit by while fucking Thanos is destroying Earth, Dave. I'm sorry. This fucking weak-ass plot thing of, oh no, we couldn't do anything. Earth would have looked after itself. Bull fucking shit. These absolute boring fucking superheroes. You've got to be said, Dave, we've gone from some of the most charismatic fucking characters ever, you know, and obviously some of the most famous ones as well. So I know there's that bias of, like, you know, Spider-Man, Iron Man, you know, the Hulk, everything. I get that for, and it's, but it's the people who portray him in this. These are all fucking like, they're all like moody fucking teenagers. They're boring. There's no fucking charisma or character to any of the characters. Jon Snow, Kit Harington, he's fucking rubbish in it, Dave. He's, I know he's not a superhero, but he's garbage in this.
Well, you say and that.
They're all, yeah. Well, I know, yeah. I did see the end, Dave, and read up on the end bit. But it's fucking rubbish. Like, it just absolutely, none of the characters I care about. And the movie, it, honestly, the pretext of it is so wishy-washy. Yeah, well, we couldn't get involved. Fuck off, you couldn't get involved. What a load of bullshit. No mention of him at all in any of the other movies, really. And I'm just like, nope, I'm not buying this shit at all. The fight scene's not bad at the start in London, but other than that, they're just boring. It's a boring shit movie, Dave. And there's no way, if this was the flagpole for the next MCU, it's no wonder it's so fucking poor. But anyway, I'm back, Dave. I'm fucking back.
There is a huge amount to unpack there, but I want to address something first. So I think you threw in some some really good points, but I want to address the Thanos thing. Yeah, look, peppered with lots of swearing, that's for sure. But I think you do have a point with some of the things. But I want to kind of address the Thanos thing and then move on from it, because I feel like you're kind of a bit stuck with that. You just can't accept. Had you watched it in the cinema, I could just picture you with the arms folded throughout the whole movie, like, it's fucking bullshit. They should have gone after Thanos. And it's like, look, we all know why it was. Like, they're literally trying to create movies after Endgame. They weren't even thinking about this, probably, or they were thinking about it, but they hadn't written anything. They didn't know, you know, how they were going to introduce them into the world. And I think you've seen this in the actual comics multiple times, where, you know, the distributors, they need you to be buying those comics every month, so they need to somehow drive the stories forward while keeping the kind of status quo. And then they get so fucking tangled in continuity, they end up like having to reboot stuff just to try and simplify it. Like, DC have done it more than Marvel, but that's because they've been going for longer. So the reality is, you know, it's just a practical real world thing that they weren't around. I'm going to flip to the other side of the fence now, because it is bollocks. I feel like they could have come up with a better explanation for it, because they tried to address it, didn't they? They say, oh, yeah, we didn't want to interfere. But their whole point of being is, we find out later, plot twist, you know, is that Arishem, basically Earth is just a massive sort of birthing pod for this celestial. That's the whole point of it. So you need so many people to basically generate energy in Earth so that, you know, this celestial can be born. Well, surely halving the number of people on Earth, like, makes your mission more difficult. The reason they're killing off the deviants is because the deviants are eating the people, but they need the people for the energy to help the celestial be born. So it's utter bullshit that, you know, just halving the population of Earth wouldn't affect their mission. It fucking would directly affect their mission. It put them back, you know, at least centuries. So, yeah, it is bullshit, but, you know, we know why it is.
Yes.
The other stuff, I don't know if you got any sort of retort for that, but the other stuff you said about it being trying to remember it all now, it being boring, but you said about the characters and the charisma of the characters. I think, you know, I loved Game of Thrones. I think you dropped off it, didn't you? But obviously we got Jon Snow in there, but also, you know, Robb Stark, you know, he was there as well. So it's obviously filmed over here, isn't it, a lot of it? Because that's when you have a big collection of English actors, or British actors, rather. But yeah, I think ultimately it's just too messy and convoluted, isn't it? And my feeling of it, Chris, was, it was more like a Warner Brothers DC movie. Like, it was all right. I didn't really care for the characters. A lot of the plot didn't really make sense. They try and throw in some jokes, but it's not really funny. And yeah, it's just, I don't think it's terrible, but it's just way below, you know, the average kind of scoring of MCU movies up until this point.
Yes, I agree. I think for it to work for me to believe these characters and go, fair enough, is they turn up after the Thanos thing. That would have been the logical thing. They go with it. You know, there might be one person out of this group who was like the defender of Earth, or, you know, someone who oversees it and was like, right, I'll throw out the bat signal. You need to get back down here, you know, sort of thing. And they all appear from wherever they are. But the fact that they're all living amongst everybody and all this stuff's gone on and the devastation, like you say, of the world and the population was halved, I just don't buy any of it. And I think you're right. I think that's the problem. It doesn't help with the names, Dave. I mean, come on. We've had Captain America and we've had Iron Man. Tony Stark. We've got fucking Cersei, Icarus, Kingo, this fucking, you know, Sprite, fucking Makari, all these, what, Gilgamesh. Who gives a fuck? Who's going to remember? Who's going to
chase the Smurfs? What was that, Gilgamesh?
I'm going to say something else, but I'm not. But what I'm saying is, Dave, no fucking kid, if you're going to invest in this, no kid's going to go, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get rid of my fucking Iron Man toy. I want a Gilgamesh fucking toy. No, you're not. Because you're not. Who the fuck knows? Nobody knows any of these names. Cersei, maybe. And Icarus, you could probably get away with. But I've not come away from this movie. And I'm on a moment, middle-aged grown man. But I've not come away from this thinking about these characters, thinking, oh, yeah, what great names. Oh, yeah, they really stick in your head. They don't. This is like that mythical sword and sorcery bullshit that you try and get me to watch sometimes, Dave. Absolute fucking Hawk the fucking Slayer. I'd expect names like this in them sort of movies. You can't, well, you say that, Dave. But what I would say is you can't create another team like the Avengers or whoever, or these characters, so many of them that we're supposed to care about. And they've got, so I know these are the names from the comics. I know that and stuff. I'm not, you know, they've not just made them for the movie. You can't just create these new people and expect people to just go, oh, how good was Cersei? No, because all we can think of is it Cersei Lannister, Dave, out of fucking Game of Thrones? But, you know, I watched Game, and you say about me falling off it, I did fall off it. I watched the last two series then. I sort of missed the middle like I did when Sam watched Lost and then came in at the end. And I have been watching that House of Dragons, the new series is out, the new season or whatever. But
yeah.
I didn't mind the first series, to be fair. But yeah, you just don't care about them. The names are confusing. I don't, and like you say, they're trying to throw jokes in there. And it's no disrespect to any of the actors or actresses in it at all. It's no disrespect to them. They can only do what they can do. But I just think they got the casting wrong, the dynamic of it is, it's very, for me, it's that sword and sorcery bullshit, which I don't like anyway. And I just can't take to any of it. Even Angelina Jolie, you know, she's, you know, a bit of a crush on her when I was younger and that. She's still stunning, but I don't buy it. Sam Hayek stuff as well. I just think it's a really, really bobbins movie with like one of the thinnest fucking plots ever. You know, it's absolute bullshit in it. I suppose it's like, I've just watched the new, a few months ago, the new Creed. Jonathan Majors again, he's in it. He's you've got Adonis Creed, you've got, what's he called in Creed? You know, Killmonger in.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan. Great actor. I like him in Creed. But it's like that. You've not watched The Last Creed, have you? Am I going to fucking ruin it for you if I talk about it?
I haven't, but it's fine. But, go ahead.
But basically, a character pops up from nowhere and can challenge the heavyweight champion. Similar to the trailers. And this guy just turns up from nowhere with no training. He's never been a professional boxer. And basically, you know, wins the title. Obviously. It's obviously something to do with that, Dave. It's a crossover. But it's just utter nonsense. And this is what I find with this. It's just like, I don't care about any of the... I don't think the effects are that good, to be honest. And I think the fight scenes are absolutely garbage. I really do think they're poor in this. Other than that bit in London at the start, which is pretty good, and the deviants and stuff like that. I did enjoy that. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. But honestly, it's just an absolutely awful movie. And what a way for us to come back reviewing, Dave. I mean, I've been sat on this for ages. I've had to watch it for the second time because we just couldn't get our calendars going. And I really hated every fucking minute of this movie. Nearly 3 hours long. Fucking hell.
It is a long one, isn't it? Yeah. And for me... Again, you can't help but draw parallels to how the MCU started. You know, it started with those close kind of origin stories that were separate for each character. You know, you got to know Tony Stark, all his, you know, imperfections and everything. You got to know Captain America, Steve Rogers. You got to know Thor. And then, so when they came together in Avengers Assemble in 2012, it was like, oh, fucking hell, this is amazing. You know, you got all these people on screen and they've got chemistry and everything. And yeah, you've got 10 characters here all thrown together. You're trying to understand what everyone's kind of character is and their motivation. And yeah, it is a struggle to care about any of them. I do think, though, like I say, for me, this is not terrible. And that scene in London, actually, I think it's all right. I think the effects get worse, partially because it's a night scene, isn't it? So the special effects, you can get away with a little bit more there. But it starts off with a bit of a bang. On the VHS Strikes Back, we've been reviewing like a few 70s movies of late, don't we? And you get to about 95% of the way through the film before you find out what the point of it was. Whereas this is, you know, straight into the action. But because you don't really care about what the, you know, who the characters, you don't really feel any peril for them. Because it's like, oh, if someone dies, you know, I don't really care. So, you know, it's just a big CGI slugfest, isn't it, with these deviants that are just these, it could be anything. I think one of the things I didn't like about the first Doctor Strange movie is you had those, you know, random fucking villains. You know, when they turn into the zombies, basically, you know, it's just you don't care about them. The deviants just don't really fucking care. So, yeah, for me, there's lots of things that are not plot driven, you know, not about Thanos or whatever, you know, why weren't they there? Just it is quite poor. And I don't think it's a thin plot. I just think it's convoluted. So, you know, the whole point is, you know, that the Eternals, their mission is basically to save humanity, you know, or to save humans from the deviants. And then so when they think they've killed the last of them, they're sort of just chilling out. They're all living separately and what have you. But then when you get to the twist, you know, you find out that, oh, actually, everyone on Earth is going to die. These people who you've been trying to protect, they're all just going to die, because the whole point of it was they generate enough energy and then you get this Eternal being born. I think that's supposed to be this massive twist, and you're supposed to be like, oh my God, it's an M. Night Shyamalan twist. You know, it's like an Unbreakable or a Sixth Sense kind of, holy shit, I can't believe it. But it doesn't. It just falls massively flat for me. And you're just like, all right, okay, well, that's clearly not going to happen, is it? They're going to save the day. And I don't know. It just misses the mark, like, in so many ways.
Yeah, it does. And I think maybe, you know, I'm praising the MCU and the last phase, obviously, you know, the Endgame stuff and all that. Maybe people, because we've seen it before and what the payoff we got at the end, and like a lot for me, I thought it was just fantastic storytelling. It's still one of my favorite movies ever, but Infinity War and Endgame, absolutely brilliant movies. But I do think that we've been through that. We've got the t-shirt, we've got it. So they're going to then introduce something else, a load of other characters we've then got to invest in and care about. And everyone's still looking over the shoulder going, I'm thinking, but what about Steve Rogers when he went back in time? So he'd give all of the, you know, the stones back and that. What happened there? You know, and it's all stories. I know Chris Evans has sort of said like he probably will never come back, but you're like, well, what's going on? And then you know you've got the, I mean, like I like the Bucky and Thingy one. That was a great show, that. I really enjoyed that. But then you're hearing in the new Captain America that Bucky's not even in it. You know, and it's like, well, he was such a big part of the TV show, Steve's story. You know, there was a redemption out there.
Oh, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That was a good series, actually. Yeah,
it was. It was very good. I actually like, because I thought John Walker was great. You know, very good. And just out of interest, Dave, have you seen the trailer for the new Captain America game, the 1943?
No.
Oh, when we watch this, have a look at it, and it's in real time. It's actually in game. Oh, nice. Watch the graphics; it's brilliant. It looks so good. Black Panther's in it, but it's set like World War II, honestly. But the Captain America looks like John Walker. It looks like John Walker.
Really?
Yeah. So, but no, so like I say, I just think you're right. The turn, that the whole thing. I mean, I had the old Top Trumps years ago, and Galactus was always, he was like the Don, basically, Dave. He was almost like infinite. You had a Silver Surfer, because if you had an unknown on the, you're probably the same, you know, the Top Trumps cards, basically an unknown beat everybody, didn't it? Like, if you had, like, power, and you'd say to your mate, I don't know if you used to play, and go, like, well, what have you got? And they go, I've got a 94. And you go, well, I've got an unknown, actually. And then you'd have to go, on, give us your card. And you'd lose. I remember playing it years ago, and I had the Marvel stuff, and he was always one of them. He was, like, 60 foot tall or something on that thing. But never really understood him, because I never saw him in the... Galactus, sorry. Yeah, I never saw him in like, the cartoons or anything like that. But I just knew he was someone not to be messed with. But, again, all that... I don't know. I think you're right. It just falls very flat. You don't really care for anybody. Even the whole thing with Icarus, Dave, you know, like when they're going at him and they're fighting with each other and everything. And yeah, the fight scenes are okay. They're not horrendous, but I just don't care. I actually think, Dave, it's got too many British accents in this movie. I think, I don't know what it is, but the UK on movies, like British accents, they always sound, I don't know what it is. They always go right through me, even though I'm fucking from the UK. I just prefer an American accent. You know, I say, oh no, just stop that right now. Nobody fucking speaks like that. Nobody speaks like that unless you fucking work for the fucking king or the queen and you're some fucking posh boy like fucking Hugh Grant. Nobody speaks like that in the UK, but all you get off American people is, oh yes, tea and crumpets. Oh yes, what time? Can you go and say hello to the queen or the king? No, we don't speak like that. You might think we do. We don't. And it pisses me off in movies, the English accent. It really fucking does, Dave. It just annoys me so much. All of them in this movie, bunch of tosspots. Even Barry Keoghan and his Irish accent, and it is a real accent. It's just not, doesn't deliver it with any menace or anything. I'm just like, yeah, I'm out, really. It's like a cheapo version of fucking the MCU, but that's been done on YouTube by a load of British fucking art students or something. Some film students have just had half an hour to put something together. It's fucking rubbish.
Well, Chloe Zhao, I'm going to say, is apparently, so she's the director, and apparently she is known more for doing indie movies. And I often wonder this with directors who, you know, when they've had that 100% control, like, how do you cope with going into work for a massive studio like Marvel Studios, where basically all of the CGI stuff has to be done well in advance. So for me, it's like they've almost directed half the movie already before they've even named who the director's going to be. So it must be really difficult to come into that situation.
Yeah, I didn't know she was. I have no history to the director. So that would probably make sense, Dave, as well, Chloe, as you are. So, yeah. Maybe it does. Maybe it was too big a project for us. You didn't have the support. Don't forget, like I say, we've got the whole pandemic as well. I've always got to cut a bit of slack. Like, a lot of the production was done at home and things like that, and it looks like it. It looks like these people have... It almost feels at times, Dave, like we're watching... This is going to be a hell of a fucking segue, a hell of a fucking reach, but Samurai Cop. It's like people have filmed stuff. You know, Frank. Nowhere near. Not even in the same fucking building with good old Frank, but he's laughing his cock off in the corner, isn't he? But
I can see him now looking into the camera. The
camera's laughing his head off. The greatest scenes ever in a movie. But you can, it feels as if like a lot of this stuff has been put together. And not really, people have understood the plot. They've just been told to put this as a scene. I want this in here. I want that. But there's no real dialogue and understanding. It's just a really, really executely poor movie. It really is poor. I hate it.
Executedly poor movie. That is a new one.
Exactly. That is a new one, Dave. That's how bad it is. Poorly. That's how bad it is. I'm creating my own fucking words up, Dave, as well as we're going along. Well, they're making their own words up and their own fucking thing in this film, so I might as well do the same. But yeah, I just think care. At the end of the movie, they're all fighting against each other. Don't really care. Icarus, you know, he likes Cersei, but she's with fucking Jon Snow. Nobody cares at all, really. Let's be honest, Dave. You know, it's the same old fight scenes where everyone is getting shot at and pushed around, but no one's really injured, really, until you get, like, you know, the odd death here and there. But like, there's nothing that really gets me going when I'm watching this fight at the end. It just feels dead run-of-the-mill superhero stuff. And I think I agree with you. It does, because we've been watching Aquaman recently. The fight scenes are very similar to some of the DC stuff, especially that new Aquaman. It's fucking what a terrible movie that is. Like, I think it might even be worse than this, but that is awful. But yeah, the fight scenes are just off for me. They really are off. It's just like, we've seen all this before. It doesn't really move the genre of superhero movies on. It's just, it's almost as if this is just a placeholder. Because it can go in any direction they want. They can forget about this movie, which I hope they do, and we never talk about these characters ever again. Or you can bring them back in if you really want to. But yeah, I found it such a hard watch again for the second time.
Yeah. I mean, they've never really addressed the Eternals sticking out of the planet in any of the other movies or series since, no, I don't think. So, you know, that might give a clue. I think, though, I mean, Marvel are apparently focusing more on quality now. They did go a bit fucking crazy and just tried to kill us with content, and I think they're trying to take the foot off the gas a little bit and focus more on different projects. But yeah, I do feel like this one is a kind of misstep. I don't really see how it would fit into the overall narrative, you know, building towards something else, you know, whatever it's going to be. I mean, it looks like it's going to be Kang, doesn't it? Or well, it was when they filmed this anyway. But yeah, I mean, like you say, just it's hard to care about anything. I mean, like I say, it's a great cast, isn't it? But Ajak, she gets killed off, okay? Don't really care. You know, Thena has obviously got this fractured mind, and, you know, she's fucking absolutely kick-ass, isn't she? And Angelina Jolie. But yeah, it's difficult to care. I think Kingo, you know, and his sidekick there, who are recognized from Shaun of the Dead, being the shopkeeper. But, you know, he's got some funny lines, but again, talk about thin explanations. You know, he's saying about, how do you explain the fact that he's a massive kind of Bollywood film star? But, you know, he's obviously eternal, isn't he? So he keeps living on and on. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's because, like, you know, that's my grandfather. That's my great-grandfather. He's sort of explaining it, that, you know, he's telling everyone else. But it's like, yeah, but people watching these movies can see it's exactly you. It's not just a likeness to you. It's literally you. you know, it's just bollocks. And I think the twist at the end as well, where you get Sprite, who's like, oh, you know what? You know, we've been together for thousands of years on the same side, but I'm kind of pissed off with being a kid. You know, so maybe if we start somewhere else on a different planet, it'll all be good. So I'm going to stab you, Cersei, and stop you. It's like, again, I just couldn't really care about that. So, Cersei stops the whole event at the end, and everyone's like, oh, fucking hell. Yeah, what were all their names again?
Well, yeah, exactly. And then even on the post-credit scenes, Dave, you've got Harry Styles comes in as Thanos' fucking brother, who looks like a cheap version of fucking Loki, because he comes in with that sort of demeanor, hasn't he? I don't even know the character, but he felt very Loki in his delivery. Yeah, it just felt very, very Loki in his delivery. Obviously, a comedy character. He's got his sidekick there. And then, obviously, at the end, you say that. I was joking about, like, Kit Harington's character. I know that he becomes like a knight or something, like Black a Blade knight. Type. Black Knight, and that's obviously Marshall Ali's voice, isn't it, who's going to be Blade, which just keeps getting pushed back. That's his voice. So, it leaves stuff there, and I'm really excited. I must admit, I'm really hoping that when they finally start production on the new Blade movie, it's been pushed back again. I can't wait for that. You know, loved Wesley Snipes. There's got to be some sort of throwback to Wesley Snipes there, or a cameo or something, aren't there, as Blade? But
I mean, I'm saying about Iron Man being the start of the MCU, but kind of you could argue it was Blade
yeah,
in a way, wasn't it? I mean, that really kind of turned the movie around. I mean, before that, well, in the same year, you were getting kind of Nick Fury's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Hasselhoff, weren't you? You
know, what a film.
It was a great film.
What a film.
But, you know, they're very, very different. I am looking forward to Blade, but it's one of those where I'm thinking, well, what are they going to do that's massively different? You know, that first movie for me still really holds up. And even the third one, which gets slated, and I know it had all kinds of production problems, and then they had to rewrite basically because Wesley Snipes wasn't available on set most of the time. So, you know, but that gave people like Ryan Reynolds more of a stage, you know, and basically without that, you wouldn't have got Deadpool. So I'm wondering for this kind of Blade reboot, what are they going to do that's going to be so different from that original?
Yeah, I don't know myself. And talk about games, Dave. They've announced a Blade game as well that they're making. Right. It's set in Paris, and it looks pretty tasty, to be fair. It's Bethesda who make all sorts of different games. They're making on their Xbox, so that'll be good. So you've got that one, and obviously the Captain America. So game-wise, I'm sorted. I'm like, yep, this is exactly what I want, because I've just been going through Spider-Man 2 again. But I don't know. I don't know what they do with Blade. I'm with you, like, because he's more of a human character. Really, for me, Blade's in the same arena as like Daredevil and places like. I mean, they're making the new Daredevil, and thank God they're rewriting it again, aren't they? And they've also got the Punisher on board, John Bernthal. So I'm happy about that. Nice. Really, I'm happy about that. So I'm hoping they're going to go back to the gritty stuff, not the let's sleep with She-Hulk bollocks that was in the She-Hulk thing and stuff that, you know, it didn't fit with Matt Murdock, really, considering where he was. So, yeah, let's see, Dave. I just don't know. I just feel like this is a movie that, at the moment, it may, in 5 years, we might go, oh, you know what, Eternals just made perfect sense. But I just don't think it is. You can look back even on, like, 4-2, which fucking Bobbins movie, but you can watch it now in hindsight and go, you know what, it's actually not a bad movie, actually. It puts it together. You can see there's a couple of things that pay off, even though it isn't one of the better ones. Even what's the second Avengers one, Dave, that they've on slate? When you watch it now, it's actually
Age of Ultron's
not a bad movie at all. And it puts everything together. It sets the placeholders for what comes after it. So in hindsight, great. I just don't think there's any payoff, and I wouldn't be surprised if half these characters we never see again in the MCU, because it was just so poorly reviewed and received by everybody. Nobody cared about it, like me. So.
Yeah. I mean, well, so firstly, Matt Murdock is very much like that in the comics. Yeah. He's a little bit promiscuous, but I agree. I mean, that first series of that Netflix Daredevil, so good. And I just hope they keep that tone. I mean, I hope they don't kind of make it all PG-13, and, you know, it's got to remain dour and dark. Honestly, I absolutely love Daredevil. He's one of my favorite characters. And the thing is, he just takes lumps constantly. You know, it's just, his life is shit. And, you know, it's just him dealing with it. You know, that's kind of what I like about his character. But yeah, for this lot, yeah, I'm with you. I don't really care. I would be totally okay if they just almost chop this off like a gangrenous limb. And we're just like, you know what? We're not going to address the Eternal sticking out of the earth. We're not going to do anything with that. We're just going to keep things small. Like you say, if we do a Blade thing and they do more of a kind of mystical fantasy corner of the MCU, then that's all good. But yeah, I don't need to see the Eternals again. It's an experiment, but I just think it's gone badly.
Yeah, me too. So, Dave, perfect way to end it. Shall we get into our scores?
Let's go.
Well, Dave, you're going to be shocked by this. Now, Chris Phelps has done many switcheroos with movies, and you've been like, I can't believe it, and I've scored it. And then I've gone, but Dave, I, like Simon Cowell, I loved it. Dave, I fucking hated it. This movie is a shocker. It is Bobbins. If you've never seen it, There's a reason you've not seen it after bloody 3 years. It's absolute crap. The characters don't care about. Everyone's boring in it. There's too much going on. The names are not catchy enough for you to get it. They've not been in the public eye in the past for people to understand, unless you're an absolute comic book aficionado. And I respect that. If you are, you would know more about them. I'm probably doing a disrespect to the Comics in Motion family, Dave. But as just someone who likes movies, it's just bobbins. And I cannot be doing with it. I will not be watching Eternals 2 unless they turn around and say it's an absolute masterpiece of a movie. I just cannot see it. And all the UK accents were just pissing me off. So for me, Dave, it's going to Alderaan. And I hope it gets fucking blown up, Dave. And that's a different podcast, Dave. So it should be going to the Phantom Zone, shouldn't it, really, Dave?
So maybe a refresher of our scoring system would be helpful, Chris.
Yes. If it's the greatest thing you've ever seen, Dave, we would send it to... Dave, you might have to refresh me. This is how bad it is.
Asgard.
Asgard, that's it. Asgard. If it's just under Asgard, Dave, where would it go?
Atlantis.
That as well. And then if it's in the middle, it's Hall of Justice. Not Halls of Justice, Dave, which you told me after 100 episodes. I was getting the only wrong. Hall of Justice. And then if it's a bit bobbins, it's not that good, we send it to Hell's Kitchen. And if it's the worst thing you've ever seen, it gets fired off with General Zod to the Phantom Zone. So, Dave, it is going to the Phantom Zone. It is absolutely fucking garbage and one of the worst things I've seen in a long time. And I've seen this film twice now because of my own fault more than you for not being able to get the schedule to record it. When I was watching it the second time, I'm like, and this is why, when you commit to stuff, Chris, in my inner voice, you fucking do it and record it straight away because you've had to watch this shit again for the second time. So it's my own fault. Anyway, Dave, what about yourself?
So I'm curious, before I get into my score, right, you've got, it's a zombie apocalypse, and weirdly, you know, the only thing that is surviving streaming-wise is Netflix, and it's got two things on there. It's got Tank Girl and Eternals. Which one are you watching?
Well, at least, I was going to say something, and I was going to say something, and I'm like,
cancelled.
Yeah. I would rather. Fucking hell, Dave. Why have you done this, Dave? This is the worst thing you could have done. I would rather close my eyes and pull one off. There you go, Dave. That's what I'll say. I'm not watching either of them. There you go. I'll use my imagination. There's nothing on screen that's going to stimulate me to go, you know what? I can go for a quick danger wank. No, I can't. Bobbins, both of them, Dave.
You go off and fight zombies and disappear. Yes. For a day. I mean, that would be a danger wank, wouldn't it? It'd be quite a challenging wank, I think, as well.
Yes. How have we ended up on this? But yeah.
I don't know. But so for me, Chris, I do think this gets more pelters than it deserves. It is not a great movie by any stretch. It is dull. It doesn't kind of make sense. It doesn't bring you into the characters. And this is a great cast with great actors in it as well. But it's just not that great. Now, I do feel like it would fit in okay with the Warner Brothers DC universe. I feel like the tone and everything, I think it fits there more than it does in the MCU. Now, interestingly, I know Rotten Tomatoes, I have this kind of love-hate relationship because I say I hate it the way it aggregates scores, but you know, I'll always quote it. But so that gets 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. However, the audience score from over 10,000 ratings, it gets 77%. So people, you know, there are quite a lot of people who quite enjoy it for some weird reason. But for me, it's not that end of the scale. It is at the other end where, you know, it's a long film and it feels long. And it just, for me, it doesn't need to be there. So I'm not going to pop it into the Phantom Zone. I do think there are some good bits to this that... I do like we were saying about the DC universe, but obviously Batman gets a little mention there, doesn't he? Superman. Yeah. So we're kind of like, okay, so DC characters exist, or the characters at least, exist in the MCU. So that's kind of an interesting thing. So for me, it's a Hell's Kitchen. I think it's not something I need to see out of it. The only thing I'd want to see coming out of this is maybe I would like to see the Black Knight and the Ebony Blade, and obviously see if he interacts with Blade. That'd be good, but I don't need to see this core cast, to be honest.
Good work, Dave. But thank you as well. So, thanks everyone for being patient with us doing a review, Dave. I'd like to, at some point, maybe we should announce what we're going to do next, Dave, but we don't know what year that will be. So let's just say that we will be back. We usually play a trailer at this point, and we will be reviewing something along the line in the next month or so, won't we, Dave? That's what we're committing to, aren't we? This is what we're committing to.
So we'll announce it somewhere, probably on Discord and Twitter or X or whatever. So all good. Chris, it has been a lot of fun to go back and dissect it a little bit. Probably, you know, let's pick something maybe a bit bonkers next time. I'm thinking maybe the Trial of the Incredible Hulk or something like that. But it has been good fun to talk through it with you. And how are you going to finish it off today?
Well, Dave, I just wanted to say before we go, if you do want to email us, the Comics in Motion podcast at gmail.com, please support us. If you want to review the show, please get over to your podcast catching app and look for Comics in Motion. There's loads of different shows on the Comics in Motion feed, guys. The massive family that we've got of just so many great content creators. This is something for every single person out there if you're a comic book fan. So please get onto the feed. There's just so much great content going on there all the time. It's amazing stuff. So thank you for everybody as well. And like Dave said before, we are doing a Fast and Furious crossover with Jack as well. So we're on Fast 8 at the moment. Dave has literally lost the will to live, and I've realised that Vin Diesel is actually Thanos. Dave, I'm not going to take us out with anything because it's been that long. I'm simply going to say I really hate myself for leaving it this long and having to watch Eternals twice. And that's it, really. I just want to say thanks, everyone, for sticking by us. I know that we get a lot of stick because we don't record as often as we used to, but we are going to get this more consistent. We made a vow at the start of this year, didn't we, Dave? And we do get let off as well, because to be fair, we were supposed to be recording on February the 30th, Dave, and with it being an actual leap year, we just didn't get round to it. So that's why it wasn't one in February, everyone. So
February,
we do apologize.
The 30th?
Exactly, Dave. It's all part of the Eternals plan. It's all part of the Eternals plan.
Not the 29th.
No, the 30th, Dave. Exactly on the 30th, yeah.
February the 30th exists in the MCU then, I guess.
There's a comic somewhere. Ask Mike Burton, he knows.
So, you know, I was feverishly, because I wasn't sure which way the pendulum was going to swing, and I was feverishly looking through at, you know, there must be a good quote in here somewhere. And the second highest quote to appear on IMDb, kind of, there's a clue in here why this is a bit dull as well, because I can't help but feel like Robert Downey Jr. set the whole, you know, tone for the MCU with his kind of quippy dialogue, and then people were trying to write, you know, dialogue that just, you know, gave that chemistry. And the second highest quote is an interaction between Icarus and Thena, and it says, Icarus says, "Thena, play nice, you've never had to fight me," and Thena says, "I've always wanted to."
It's like one of my movies.
It's fucking rubbish. So anyway, Chris, thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all the fantastic creators who keep churning out content in the absence of me and Chris doing any TV and movie reviews. So it is absolutely fantastic to be part of this community. And you know what? We'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
Excuse me, I'm Eric Lentra.
James Xavier.
Go fuck yourself.
What in the...
something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound.
Let's not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Wayne.
Would you care to step outside?
Come to me, son of Jor-El. Kneel before Zod.
Why so serious? Let's put a smile on that face.
I am Iron Man.
I'm Batman.
And he's good.
Whoa!
Hey.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave. None of those things.
That one, Dave, yeah.
Oh, let me try that again.